Certainly happy to be back here in the house of the Lord tonight and to look into His Word. Now, this summer, when I was in Saskatchewan and Brother Perry and the group came up, I took several different messages, and he wanted me to bring some of those same messages, in which I have already done so. But there was one particular one that did not record even at all well, which was the last Sunday morning. And so I want to bring that message tonight, because if you did get that tape, it's almost so unintelligible. It's just too difficult to understand. So it's better to bring it fresh, and also it's better to hear it, of course, rather than just to get it off the tape. Sometimes it's just that much more easy to follow and to have a good understanding. So the message tonight is 20th Century Negative Confession. And the reading is found in the book of Numbers, the 13th chapter. Now, we'll get the chapter and then we'll bow our heads in a word of prayer. We'll begin at verse 26. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we ask you now, Lord, to be with us in the most particular manner, and that is for the leadership of thy word, Lord. We know, my God, that your Spirit hovered over the earth and over the water. It was very, very chaotic, but it brought forth beautiful cosmos out of the chaotic condition. And so, Lord, tonight we know that your Spirit can dissolve doubts, eliminate fear, and bring us into the creative work of Almighty God, if you just would be so kind as to reveal your word to us. And Lord, as that chaotic condition was made the literal word manifested by the creative act over all that debris, and Lord, we're just hoping that the same thing exists for us in your promise, that that same word over us, Lord Jesus, will create in us this immortality and incorruptibility which we are looking forward to, hoping that we're a part of it to bring us into the millennium. And this is what our prayer is, Lord, and we know that when you said those words way back there that brought forth that beauty and wonder, it just each word, Lord, came to pass because it was pure and perfect. And this is how we view it tonight, that if you'll just brood over this meeting, Lord, and keep every word exactly right, then there's something wonderful going to come forth from it. And now, Lord, we just give ourselves into your hands now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Reading, beginning at verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation, the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us up into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell upon their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an excellent, exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he'll bring us into this land and give it us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? Now, in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 7, Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made, the word partakers isn't a proper word there, but it's a fellow. A companion of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some when they had heard did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again he limited a certain day, saying in David, Today after so long a time as it is said, Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creation that are creature, that creation, that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In Hebrews the 10th chapter, 22 to 25, Let us therefore draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the days approach. Now, in the first reading in the book of Numbers, chapter 13 and into 14, we read the historical account of a major New Testament doctrine found in Hebrews 3, verses 17 to 19, and carried over into the 4th chapter of that same book. Now, wherein, that is, in these readings, is set forth that unbelief, or the failure to believe in the revealed and vindicated word of the day, brings death to all who will not act on that word. Now, I want you to notice what I said. The Old Testament is the historical account of a New Testament doctrine. It's not merely an illustration, but it's the actual doctrine that unbelief, or the failure to believe in the revealed and vindicated word of the hour, brings death who will not act on that word which has been revealed and vindicated. Now, let us look at why Israel, in majority, did not go into the promised land. In fact, the scripture tells us that only 2 people over 20 went into the promised land, and that's Joshua and Caleb, and no one else was able to go in. And God let them die in great tribulation, as it were. I didn't say it was great tribulation. I'm typing. He let them die in great tribulation, as it were, because of their unbelief. Now, let's examine the account of this historical event that brings us to this doctrine. Now, first of all, you notice that Moses had two signs. He was given the sign in his hand, first of all, and then he was given also the sign, first of all, he's given the sign of throwing the stick on the ground, turning to serpent, and putting his hand in his bosom, came out leprous, and putting it back in, and then coming out normal. And God gave him power to go before Pharaoh with "Thus saith the Lord." And he had a wonderful ministry wherein God vindicated that Moses was that prophet that Israel must listen to, and that would also be responsible for judging the world. Not that he literally judged the world at that time, but the world was judged because they turned down the word of the hour. See? Now, Moses led them out of Egypt with a high hand. He took them through the Red Sea and finally up to Mount Sinai, where God gave them the law through the pillar of fire and the voice of thunder, wherein they saw God in a veil and also heard his voice in thunder. They ate the manna that God provided in the wilderness. They had food for their animals. Their clothes did not wear out. There was nobody who became sick. But when it was time for God to reap a harvest of their faith, based on the supernatural and the word, then they fell back and they died. Now, I want you to understand this and keep this in mind. When God wanted to reap his sowing, because God sowed the word, and the word was to be believed, and it was time, therefore, for God to receive the harvest of their faith in the word, they fell back and died. Now, the reason was this. They saw the conditions that God laid down before them, and they fainted. For God expected them to walk into their inheritance. Are you listening? God expected Israel to walk into their inheritance with only one asset, faith in the word, while in front of them stood every hindrance. They found, they found every reason to make themselves believe it could not be done. Now, let's see why those reasons loomed up so high in their minds. First, the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and all the others in the land of Canaan were mighty men. Some were of Anak, and they were great giants of tremendous stature. And, of course, you can realize in those days how important a man of great stature would be in conflict. And if you don't understand it, simply realize what a 7'6" man would do on a basketball court. Literally annihilate the game. So could giants on the field of battle, for they would be positively invulnerable in hand-to-hand combat. Also, there were warriors in Palestine. These men were trained from warfare from their youth. But remember that Israel were simply shepherds, and they had not been allowed to receive arms or be trained for combat, lest they should rise in rebellion from their serfdom and take over Egypt, because they were getting more numerous than were the Egyptians. Also, you'll notice that because of this, they feared for their lives as fighters. They knew that they were not a match for the enemy, and so they knew that as far as they were concerned, it would simply spell death to engage in a combat. They also feared for their wives and children. And of course, this is fine in a sense of the word, because it shows that they were responsible and they did not want the dire results to fall upon their families, which they felt would fall upon them. But this, to me, could be the most important point of all. They panicked to think that God would give such lackluster and helpless ones as Israel such a mighty victory. And that's right. As they looked at themselves and compared themselves, for they said, "These are mighty men. There are giants. Now we look like grasshoppers to them, and we look like grasshoppers to ourselves." And they just could not think that God would look down upon them in such a way when they regarded their own particular condition and think, "Well, surely God will be gracious and give me this victory." They could not think that. See? They looked at themselves and they said, "Well, this is the last straw. We simply are not fit for God to do anything for us and by us. Then they turned to the leadership. And they said, Moses has not given us enough whereby we can take the land. You'll notice what poor shape they were in after 400 years of not having reality. 400 years of slavedom under Pharaoh. We've had 2,000 years of creeds and dogmas. See, because remember, we're talking about this day as well as yesterday, although I haven't brought them together yet. Now, do you know what they were doing in all of this? What actually was happening in Israel? They were giving a negative confession, and they were destroying their faith and their future. Now listen by to it. They were destroying both their faith and their future by this same negative confession. Now, what is the negative confession? It is to admit to a visible condition, considering that condition and believing in its natural conclusion, rather than to stick to the Word and say what the Word says about that same condition. Now, that's a negative confession. It's to look at conditions and follow in your human reasoning where those conditions are bound to go, then you stick with that instead of what God said about it. That's a negative confession. Now, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that we are to look to the high priest of our confession. See? And we are to give our hope, which is the earnest expectation, which is based upon the promise of Almighty God. Because we are to expect what God said in His Word. But Israel didn't do this. See? Now, apply that to what we have just said. Now, in view of the conditions, Israel never had a chance. Physically, unless the supernatural occurred, now listen, be careful to get this. Unless the supernatural occurred amongst the masses, Israel was convinced that nothing could possibly happen to her. Now, that's true. If you consider the conditions, Israel never had a chance. See? Take away the Word of God and faith in that Word, absolutely no chance to enter into Palestine. The inhabitants of Palestine were more than able to destroy Israel. Now, we must make no mistake about that. It's not as though Israel had underestimated itself in the light of the human reasoning or in the light of what was there actually in the flesh. See? Israel, we don't say, Israel, close your eyes and pretend it's not there. We don't say, Israel, just go on, there's nothing to it. See? In the light of the facts, this was a very desperate situation because the inhabitants of Palestine were more than able to destroy Israel. And all things considered, there was no way out but death if one would venture into the land. Now, you'll notice that I said all things considered. But here is the question. Who gave us the right to consider anything but Christ the Word? See? In Hebrews 12 and 3 it says, consider Him, the Word, who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You'll notice it. The contradiction of sinners against Christ. See? Absolute refusal to believe who He was, what He was. The absolute refusal to give Him His rightful position. See? Now, the same thing obtains. We have, Israel had no right to consider the contradictions of sinners against them. They had no right to consider what was going on in Canaan land. They had no right to consider themselves, examining the forces which were against them. See? Because the Bible says if you do it, you will be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, to get the proper picture of what Israel ought to have done, is to read the book of Romans, the 4th chapter. Beginning at verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. He wasn't the father of anything, really, except this young lad, Ishmael, that was a a very desperate character. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things that be not as though they were, who, when hope was gone, it's not hope against hope, it's who, when hope was gone, hoped on in faith. See? When there was no use hoping anymore. When there was no use expecting anymore. See? He hoped on in faith that he might become the father of many nations. Or in plain, literal, broken down language, that he might become what God said he already was. See? According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now Abraham didn't consider himself in the light of his inability, in the light of his weaknesses, in the light of his failure, and neither did he consider Sarah. Now if you want to liken Abraham to Israel and Sarah to the Canaanites, you got a pretty good picture there. See? Because, in other words, there was no hope from either source. But there was a desperation. Because looking at either source, there was nothing but failure. But only looking at the Word of God. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving God the glory. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now you can see right here that the faith that God demands of us through the sowing of his word is to put the promise of God superior to any condition whatsoever, and to meditate upon the promise and to rely upon it and to denounce and to discredit that which is in opposition to the word of God. See, that's your confession of faith, in contradistinction to the negative confession. Because remember, your faith can go two ways. It can go up or down, positive or negative. It's up to the individual. Now, notice, Israel, except for Joshua and Caleb of all over 20, refused to do this. They provoked God. They died. Now listen, when they provoked God, they died as sinners in their unbelief. See? Now let us consider this thing clearly. Israel had what appeared to be a legitimate reason to confess opposite to what Moses had said. Now Moses was the giver of the word, the end time leader, who was going to bring them into the promised land. And they would enter into this great place of rest under a theocracy, or a great king who would be the king of Israel, Christ, ministering his laws through the priesthood spiritually which God had ordained. See? But they confessed opposite what Moses brought them, which was, thus said the Lord. Now, listen and get this, because this is very important, brother, sister, lest you are basing your hope in a wrong dimension. Now, listen. The word that God gave to Israel by Moses was given to the very same Israel that fell. In other words, it was not another people that fell. It was the people that heard the word and had made claims upon God until they got that word. But when they got the word, they backslid. You follow me? You sure you follow me? You don't agree unless you really follow me. But you proved me wrong. Who died? Not the Midianites. Not the Egyptians. Not the Amalekites, Jebusites, Israel. And who were they? The ones to whom the word came. They got the word and they died. See? That word of promise, which came by Moses to Israel, did not tell Israel to dress up, to learn to fight, to pray harder, to learn tactics, to get gifts, But it said, beat and go in. Now listen again. Israel dying was the same Israel that received the word. They had it and they died with it. They left it because it did not seem to be enough. Now you think on that. They left it because it did not seem to be enough. The prophet of God in that day gave spiritual food in due season, which had within it the full power of transformation, of entering in and receiving the inheritance. And they turned it down. Now again, listen. If Israel would have only sung that song that we know today, just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, and taken the word of God and walked in, she would have made it. You prove me wrong. Forty years later, was she any more dressed up, any more powerful? Any more full of army tactics? Certainly not. And today, we are in Laodicea, in the same place. Poor, wretched, miserable, naked and blind. And it is out of this poor, wretched, miserable, naked, blind bunch that God is trying to get a people who will go into the millennium by pure faith in the word of the prophet. As God did not call soldiers or statesmen or theologians in Moses' day, neither is he doing it now. As he did not call for an army of disciplined, hardcore, programmed Israelites, neither does he do so today. It is to believe the word of the hour. To believe the word of the hour is to believe Christ in this hour, and that is our one hope. Well, let's go to Hebrews, the third chapter again. Beginning at verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but today, our today, because this message is a perennial message. Harden not your hearts. In other words, don't get your hearts rebelling against the word that God demands you to believe in the hour in which you live. See? Because every hour in which you live in the seven church ages, remember, there is a revelation which is the message which is given to the people, and the circumstances of the hour are set before the people. Now, in the day of your circumstance, you follow me? In the day of the hour of the circumstance, don't get your heart turned against God. See? Harden not your hearts. As in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. This scripture here tells you that when God gave the legitimate signs that God wanted to give to the people of Israel by Moses, they turned around and demanded their own signs. The prophet said the last sign we see is the sign of Messiah, but there are many people who say they believe this message want their own sign. That's exactly what this scripture says. You can look it up in the Greek. In the day that the people provoke God by wanting their own signs. They did it in Jesus' day. Show us a sign from heaven. He said there should be no sign given this generation except the sign of Jonas. And that's what happened here, and that's what's happening today. It happened 2,000 years before Christ came. It happened in Christ's day, and it's happening today. They want their own signs. You can't have them. Now, wherefore he said, I was grieved with that generation, with that breed of people. What kind of a breed are we today? In our mixed multitude. More, I don't mean us now who believe this message. I'm speaking in terms of the age in which we live. Definitely more serpent seed than anything else, like in the days of Christ. Right in religion. He said, I was grieved with that generation, that breed of people, and said, they do always err in their heart. In other words, they can never learn to place their faith where it belongs, which is right with the Word. See? Now, they have not known my ways. Now, the Bible says that Israel saw the acts of God, but Moses knew his ways. Now, do we tonight know the ways of God? Let's face it, we were so blind scripturally, we did not know there had to be a prophet to the Gentiles. But he came into full manifestation and was vindicated to be sold. See? Now, do we from this then know the way of God? Do we know exactly what God is doing in our generation, our day? Do we really know it? Or are we guessing? Now search your scripture. You cannot get beyond the Word of God for the solemnity of the glory of the majesty of Almighty God Himself. There is nothing that God exalts above His name except that Word. There is nothing that God stands behind except that Word. Then let a man disassociate himself from the revealed Word of the hour. He's a matter of carcass and dung in the face of Almighty God. Upon the derelict sands of time, he becomes a derelict with it. Now notice what he said. They have not known my way, so I swore in my wrath. The wrath of God is about to be revealed from heaven. This is the day of the wrath and judgment of Almighty God. Israel's back in the homeland. We can prove it. Now listen. Take heed, brethren. Not the Baptist Methodist down the road now, but those who claim to be bride. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. In my message here, when I preached righteousness and unrighteousness, I showed you what it was to depart from God, which is to leave the revealed Word which is given. So I belong to God and not believe the Word of the hour? Now how come you're not up in heaven running things instead of God? The whole world's in such a miserable condition. We know that though people think they know the Lord, it couldn't be quite that possible. Notice, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What is sin? Unbelief. All deceivableness of unrighteousness. Men getting off this Word. For we are fellows, companions, one of the brethren in the midst of the church to whom he, when he sings praise to God. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. What end? The end for the time of the Word to be manifested in the life to whom it was given. Amen. Remember, that Word was not given to Moses. It was given through Moses to the people. Peter tells the prophets ministered grace to us who should hear that Word. See? Hold it steadfast to the end. Don't let your faith waver in that Word. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some when they had heard did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned? Was it not with them that uttered their unbelief? Was it not with them who looked at each other and looked at conditions and said, my, we'll never make it, there's no use believing it? Was it not with them who came back and said, Moses, you couldn't have done enough for us or told us enough? Or wasn't it? Well, that's what it's got to be, because that's what their sin was. Hasn't that been every age? What was this great mystery of Christ revealed that Brother Branham brought forth? It's been the Word in every age. That's what it's been. The revealed Word of the hour. We're not just a body of Christ. We're a body of truth. Truth is that revealed Word that God's vindicated. See? Now, who is he grieved? 40 years. Was it not with them that have sinned? Whose carcasses fell in the wilderness. There never was a more spiritual wilderness in this world than we got right today. This is a spiritual wilderness. What is it this man that headed up the commission on TV said? It's a wilderness. TV is. It sure is worse than that. It's a quagmire in a swamp. See? But what's a church? It's a spiritual wilderness. The carcasses will fall in this wilderness. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? That's their sin. Unbelief. So we see, notice the emphasis, the repetition. Paul doesn't say it just once. He hits it from every single angle until no one can doubt what he's talking about. He said, here is the picture. Look at it. Now you see it. What? Through them. They would not believe in that word because of what they saw in themselves and in others. You follow me? That's absolutely the word of God, and you know it. See? Now, let's go a little further. Watch. Verses 1 and 2, chapter 4. Let us, now living, therefore, that means because of this. See? In other words, this man wasn't careful. He never put the guard down on his machine. So his hand slipped under and his hand got cut off. That's the story. The man was crippled. See? Therefore, because of this illustration, you saw what happened to that man. Now you, listen. You fear. That means real reverence. Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The promise of the hour, the creative word of God, could not go into effect because they wouldn't believe it. And they had their eyes back on the signs and wonders and miracles. And they still wanted a Red Sea experience. They still wanted a man experience. They wanted this, they wanted that, and the other thing. And then when God got through giving him everything he was going to give him, they went to Moses and they said, Moses, we demand something more from God, and we're going to tell God what we want. That's the truth. Now listen, let me read you literally what verse 1 is in the Hebrews 4 and 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise at any time being left behind and still remaining of entering into his rest, any of you should think he has fallen short of it or come in too late. Now, I told you that was Israel's biggest sin. They got to looking at themselves. They to whom the word was given, the promise of the hour, that this was their inheritance, they looked at themselves and said, oh, we just can't make it. Come on, you that believe Brother Brown's message. Admit it, this is your sin. You say you believe his message. I do too. This is a sin right here. Say, well, he can't make it. She can't make it. I know they'll not make it. Well, I guess I won't make it either. We try to buoy our hopes up and our ideas and try to sneak around with a few platitudes. Let's get down to truth. There is so much negativity amongst the people as to be abysmal and abominable. See? Not trying to make you negative now, just trying to point out something here to show us exactly the truth. We have no business to be that way. There is no need to be that way. There is no right to be that way. See? Because he says here, let us fear. This is the fear. See? Not that we are actually falling short, but looking at ourselves, we think we are short when you can't be shortchanged if it's the word of the hour that God's going to fulfill. See? And people look around and say, Brother Branham must have shortchanged us. God must have shortchanged us. I'm shortchanged. How can you be shortchanged in the light of the scripture that says opposite? As Brother Branham said, let God be true and every man a liar. Now these people felt that they were shortchanged. Now listen, the promise was there. Do you realize the promise of being a manifested son and going in the rapture has been lying in this book for 2,000 years waiting for the day for someone to pick it up? Some of you bat your eyes around a little bit. You getting scared? Don't bat your eyes around me. Look straight in the eye. You and I fail. There's going to be somebody who doesn't fail. God's truth. Don't think 1 minute sell God short. There's truth. There's going to be a bride, brother, sister. This world's all but over, and don't think it's not. Don't you worry about 1977, 75, or so on. Let's face it, this world cannot go 30 years and not finally strangle in its own corruption. You don't even need Jesus to come. It's all over. That's right, you don't even come. Only in mercy will he come to destroy those who would die strangled by their own nets. And the Bible word, when God repented in the days of Noah, it has a double meaning. And the one meaning is to feel terribly sorry for, like you see a writhing calf in a quicksand and you can't go, so you put a bull in his head to mercifully kill the calf. That's exactly what God's going to do in this age. Out of mercy, he'll destroy. Amen, that's right. Some of you are scared of it. Don't be scared of it. Stand with the truth. It's the truth. This world won't last 30 years and you know it. Christ doesn't even need to come, but he's going to come in mercy. There's been a promise left us for 2,000 years. Paul said creation is groaning, waiting for it. There is the great ability for someone standing on his feet to walk right to that tree of life without missing one heartbeat or one breath or one step and walk into immortality. That promise has been lying there for 2,000 years, and this is the hour of it. This is the hour, listen, of the fulfillment of the Word of God, not a people but a Word. You really get it? Let's not shout like we did in Brother Branham's day and drown out what's being preached. Let's shout if we got the real truth. I said it's a fulfillment of the Word of Almighty God. So don't you worry about anything else. Here's where your faith is. That's where the faith is. God said he's going to do it. Now the Bible said don't you fear and seem to think you've come short of it or come too late. Yet a lot of folk are going around preaching it's too late. How do you know it's too late? Are you God? They say the blood's off the mercy seat. Prove it. I got news for you. You just try and prove it's on there. What does it matter about the blood? They came out of Israel, didn't they? And they still out of Egypt, and they still died in spite of the sacrifice. That's the whole thing. It's the word that counts. But they get sidetracked here and sidetracked there in 100 different doctrines. Stick with the word. Amen. That's right. See, not trusting in anybody. Just trying to bring a point across. I know how this thing goes. Don't worry. I wouldn't be up here preaching out of my heart to you if I didn't know exactly how this thing works. You look around and you say, well, I wonder if it's possible. Listen, who's doing this? You or God? Me or God? Now, these people were afraid that they couldn't measure up. Israel fell by looking at themselves. They felt they had fallen short with no hope. But we don't look at ourselves for faith. Now, if you look at yourself, you never have any faith. Because you are not the originator of faith. Isn't it funny how he gets it twisted up when Brother Branham said all scrupled up? See? Easily led astray. I am not the originator of faith. Don't look to me. You are not the originator of faith. I'll not look to you. I've got no source of it. I'm no supply, neither are you. How many people go down to the city dump to get a gallon of fresh milk? That's the way Christians act. What I'm trying to show you is this. It's ridiculous to look to yourself because you are not the author or the progenitor of faith. The Word is the source of faith. See, the Word's the author. It's the progenitor. It's the sire. It's the father. It's the source. It's the creator. It's the beginning of it. In other words, it's the supplier. Then we look to a supplier. And what do we look to then? It's the Word. See, why? Because the Word came to us. The Word never went to Egypt. The Word came to Israel. The Word never came to the Amalekites. It came to Israel. Old Moab tried to fool around and get smart, and God just washed him out. See? The Word came to Israel. See? We don't look at ourselves for faith. We look to Christ the Word. That is what God backs up and brings to pass. He doesn't back us up and bring us to pass. He backs His Word up and brings us the Word to pass. And to whom is the Word given? It's given to the elect. They become heirs of what God supplies. See? We're resting in that. What was that vision beyond the curtain of time? Brother Branham said, I preached what Paul preached, and they said, we're resting in that. Because Paul had the revelation. And he challenged them, find me wrong in one word. And then he said, if anybody preaches anything else, let him be cursed. Why? Because he is cursed. Because he's off the word. Certainly. What happens to those folks that take away from the word the end time or add to it? They could make the white throne judgment. That is, those that didn't understand weren't in the election. But the curse is on them. Sixth seal opens. Curse is on the earth. Absolutely. Church is purged. World is purged. Israel is purged. That what he said? Well, I certainly, that's what he said in Malachi. Lest I come and curse utterly the world. See? Now, that's what God brings up, backs up and brings to pass. It's his word. And if we believe the message of the hour, we are part of that word of God, and God will bring us in. Now, actually, what's faith? Faith is that which has no evidence. You say, but faith is the evidence. You're reading it wrong. You show me faith in itself. You know what faith is? Faith is to believe something based on the integrity of the word with no substantiating evidence. There is no such thing as faith with substantiating evidence. By the grace of Almighty God, because of our folly, he gave us an end time prophet with signs and wonders and miracles in order to draw our attention to him who would bring us the word. And then from that minute on, you are absolutely word-based. Because that's what faith is to believe in the word of whoever brings that word without any substantiating evidence. Look it up in your Bible, in your concordance, or look it up in your dictionary, whichever you want to do so. All right, now listen, let's go on and look at Hebrews 4, 11 and 12. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, what's the labor? The labor is going to be in the mind. Because this is the tricky part of the whole thing. Because Paul said, watch your mind. Brother Brand said, watch your mind. See, everybody wants to watch something else. Hey, what did the prophet say? He said, watch your mind. You'll get contradiction this all the time. He said, watch your heart, watch this, watch that. Go ahead, go ahead, Pentecostal believer, go ahead. Go on, be my guest. I won't take a club and hit you. This is my preaching here. You do what you want out there. Hey, what do you do with the word? What can you do with the word except believe it? Or not believe it? See? Let us labor. That's where the labor is. That's where the labor is, to stick with that word in the mind. To just stick with it. See? Now, because that why? That's where the rest is. The rest of faith by the Holy Ghost. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Wanting something other than the word in the face of the conditions that God expects you to walk right through and into it. See? You boil this down, Brother Brand told the truth. He said, anybody come amongst you with something else, just love them and be sweet until they get in or get out. But stay with that word. The same example. You got the example tonight. We've seen a great vindicated prophet. We saw the word. We know the word revealed. The word of promise right now is going to take us into the rapture. Brother Brand said so. He said, this message is going to get the dead out of the grave. He said, the bride has all she needs to do to put in the rapture. We've got it all right down there, and everybody says something different. Sure, you don't think they do? What did he say about Tucson before that? About 300 people and 300 different ideas. Well, bully for them. I agree with the prophet. I mean, I don't mean about Tucson. I just agree with the prophet. It's all over the place. Now listen. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Who needs a trained army? Who needs a fine intellect? Who needs signs and wonders? Who needs everything that everybody's looking for? You don't need it. The word of God's got that beat. It's quicker. It's more life-giving. Let the giants come. The word is crisp. It's more life-giving than it's in that giant. They're afraid of that giant strength. They're afraid of his armaments. But God said, your word makes you bigger than that. See? Afraid of it. What are we afraid of? At this present place, we're afraid of simply a nervous world. The squeeze hasn't even come on down. This sharp two-edged sword, which is the word, pierces asunder, pierces even dividing asunder soul and spirit. It means absolute death to the enemy. Absolute death to carnality. Absolute death to that which is soulish. Absolute life to that which is spiritual. That's right, because the Holy Ghost is guaranteed that he cannot compare carnal and spiritual. It's spiritual, 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 and that word is that. And if I've got my hand on that, then I have got my hand on that which is God, which is in control. See, Israel had it, and they backed away. Sure, that's what, well, look at that's the story of every age. Now, joints and marrow. What's the joint? What's the marrow? Over the joint, there's a little kind of a thing that keeps the disease from going into the marrow where the blood is. Okay? God separates. Separates that joint away so there's no evil. God, by his word, making a people absolutely ready for the rapture. As Brother Branham said, as long as Eve was behind that word, she could not sin. But the minute she stepped aside from that word, she was absolutely incapable of escaping from it. That is sin. See? Watch. This word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This word, when it comes, this word abundantly coming, as it did in that day, it went before Israel, and Israel's minds were turned to the conditions of the hour and the conditions of themselves, and they said, we can't do it. And yet they had this word that made them more than able to do all things. See? Now, there's our picture. What did Israel do? They left the word when they should not have. Today we saw the very word, which is Christ, manifested to us in this 20th century to commend us to hold our faith in that word which the prophet revealed. Now notice in Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Brother Branham said one time it was death to go in, and now it's death to stay out. But where are we to go? We are to go within the holiest where the word is. That's what was in there, in the Ark of the Covenant. Now you're to go in there where the glory is, where the Shekinah glory is. We'll talk about that in a later. But you're to go right in there. How? By the blood of Jesus. Not by works. Not by anything we could do or have done. But by the blood. In other words, the way has been opened, even as Israel could not pass through the Red Sea, but a wind came that night, like the Holy Ghost. Remember, the blood had been shed, and now the wind began to blow, typing the Holy Ghost, blowing back those waves so they go in there dry shod. Even so, you and I, brother, sister, by the meritorious works of Jesus Christ, the shed blood, we can and do enter in. It is not a matter whether you're fit or not, because he was the high priest who was fit. He was the one who was tested. He's the one who did make the way. Who's the one who he's the one who does understand all these things. And because he became a man in order to do this, now that he did become the man, he has done it. Now we enter in by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. That's to say, his flesh. In other words, that new and living veil was by the fact that God became man, and now we have a man interceding for us. I'm glad it is not God. I'm glad it is Jesus. I'm making a differentiation right here on the very ground of the truth. If I had to stand before God, I'd be condemned. But since God accepted one man, now he can accept all men because that man identifies with me. God would cast me out. Have to. See? Remember that first Adam was the last Adam. See? First man, second man, one from heaven, identified with him. See, God can't be born. God can't die. The blood of God was Jesus. Now through him, from what he did, having become flesh. See, that's the secret. He having done it. See? God having done it. Israel shied away. God having done it. We must not shy away. And having an high priest over the house of God. Notice that. A high priest over the body of Jesus Christ. Let us draw near. Now watch we do. Let us draw near. Come right to the Holy of Holies with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Why? Because we have, because our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. See? Not a hope so now, but the living reality of what has happened to a born-again Christian. See? Laying it down now. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, not faith. No, that's not faith. It's confession of our hope, because word of hope is earnest expectation, and earnest expectation is a word. Let us hold fast the confession of our word, the word that God gave us, the word of the hour, without wavering. Why? Because He is faithful who gave us the promise, who will perform it. See? Now remember, where will He perform it? He'll perform it in those to whom He gave it.
Amen.
See? Now, and let us consider one another to provoke. That means to excite to paroxysms. In other words, as I mentioned the other night, how it is that God was making up a book of those that were talking to each other in a certain way. They are exciting each other about this word. You say, oh my, let's talk about gifts. Let's talk about the word. And you bunch of busybodies, you hear, get off of people's backs and let them stay with that word. Yeah. Don't look around. I know a few things you might not know. You're smart. You'll catch on before you're dead. Yeah. That's what I said. Provoke. To excite to paroxysms. Get a man so enthused about that word, he goes in rapture. It just goes silly over him. You ever see a guy get paroxysms of laughter? He rolls on the floor. That's a real holy roller. That's my kind of a man. Get him over that word, he just rolls in it. It's not like some dog in a dead carcass. No, no, no. Or eating the living manna, bless God, makes you jumping for joy. There's where your wine of revelation is. There's where your joy is. Why, they talk to each other all the time. And they talk about this wonderful word, and they're not negative about it either. Because their full trust and hope is in this word. Why? Because it was given to them, and they don't believe they're going to fall short because God gave them that word. By grace, through election. Certainly. That's where we stand. Now, we're to consider. That's our consideration. To consider to be in this word. Talk about it. What word? The word the prophet gave us. See? Now, let us consider one another, to provoke each other unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach. And the word exhort means to draw near. To cause people to draw near. How? What happened? In Israel's day, they weren't caused to draw near. They fled from the presence of God and died as dung in the wilderness. Now, how are you going to bring a man to God? By the word. No other way. Now look, it's not going to be back in the old tradition of devotional messages. I believe in devotional sermons, but you should tell the people when they're wrong what they can do and what they can't do. But brother and sister, we've had that for 2,000 years, and we've got it in about every religion that's got a conscience. Yeah, that's right. But the word of the hour does not depend upon that. The word of the hour is what Christ is doing for this day, and you recognize it and become a part of it. Now, that's exactly what the prophet said, but I had to use my own words at this point. But nearly every word I said at that last statement were his own words. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Now, notice particular there, that 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Do you know there's going to be one assembling one of these days? You bet there will be when the bride gets together. Everybody talks about it. Oh yeah. They say they believe this message and talk about it, but then they stay home and they excuse themselves for staying home. Well, there's always some reason for it. Oh yeah. Yeah, sure. There's always a reason. No fivefold ministry left or something else, or they just can't associate down there. Maybe your church is too small. I see vacant seats tonight. That's very funny that they stay away because there are not enough seats here, but I see some vacant. Not fussing, just telling you what the Bible says. People coming together over this word. If preachers get together just to even talk about it, they're accused of being organizational or denominational. I never was and never will be, and I'll challenge any man to prove it different. But they'll say anything to prove their point, which they haven't got a point. I wish you had about the 30,000 people that claim they believe this message to get together with me some night and let them hear this message to see where we all stand.
Hallelujah.
Just stick with the word. Never mind what I say. If I say the word, you've got to listen. If I don't say the word, you just go mum or say shut up and sit down. Be okay. Anybody off the word just about deserves that. Now the assembly, he says, as you see the day approaching, what day when you all get together? Now then, what are you assembling over? It's the word. Then that's the body word ministry we want. That's going to get us there. We're feeding on it. See? Nothing else.
See?
Exactly where we stand. So much the more as you see that day approach. Brother Brand said we ought to be so anxious we can't make those doors open. Oh, I know we're plagued today, we're stuff. I know we don't get any rest like we should years ago. Years ago, you could stay home on a Saturday, you know, and sort of play around and get everything all done to go to church Sunday. I know. Nervous, distraught generation. Everybody has a washing machine instead of the old washboard. Yeah, I know. Go to the bakery and buy your bread instead of making. What in the world have you been doing these days? Heaven forbid, I would like to know what are you doing. The same as I'd like to know what us men are doing. I can't figure it out. Going someplace, we're never getting there. Doing something, never getting it finished. What a mixed up age. See? Nervous. Dismal. Moody. Yet it says here, not forsake ye, for if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there is no more sacrifice. The sacrifice doesn't even exist. Well, did it? It didn't. Oh, bless God, we came out of Egypt. Hallelujah, we believe in the blood. Yes, sir, I want to tell you, Christ died for my sins. Is that so? Read the rest of your Bible. Said, if you turn down the knowledge of that truth, the knowledge of what knowledge? The fact that this is the word of the hour to bring us in, and you turn down that certain reality that this is it that will get you in, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? No, you're saying we believe this word and expect it to manifest itself while we're looking for something else and changing our minds 14 times and criticizing and carping about it. Well, I believe Brother Branham, but... Now, you can believe Brother Vail, but that's okay. I'm worth an insult. Go ahead. If you want to insult me, that's your business. That's fine. I say, I got it coming to me. But you can't say Brother Branham, but... Because he's vindicated. The minute you say Brother Branham, but you say God, but you said Moses, but you say Paul, but you say Peter, but John, but no buts. See, can't have it two ways. But a fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation. You're at the end time. Which shall devour the adversaries, and these are called the adversaries of God because they just won't stay with that word. Okay. Remember, Brother Brand said, it is not character. Now, he didn't say it shouldn't have character. But he said that great thing is not character. If it was, where's David? I still can't figure a man with 500 wives and stealing somebody else's. But I'm sure glad it's in the Bible. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Don't worry. Now, we saw that warning there. Death to all who came in unbelief, for he that despised Moses' law. Let's just put that word law to there and make it word. Because the 119th Psalm is full of the law is the word, and the word's the law, the commandments, so on. It's just full of it. 119th Psalm's got a dozen ways of saying. Let's just make it word now. He that despised Moses' word died without mercy under truth of witnesses. Sir, they turned it down. That which God gave there. How much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, crucified the second time to themselves? Count the blood of the covenant worthy of sanctified an unholy thing, and have done despot to the Spirit of grace. The sacrifice is sitting there. It's lying there. And all you've got to do is stand with that word in the Holy Ghost and march right in. You say, well, I don't think we can do it. I don't think we got enough. I just wonder about the whole thing. Now think of the 20th century negative confession. Let's make it personal. God sent an absolutely vindicated prophet. Now is that right? Now nobody needs to doubt that one. Nobody. We've got the films, two films. We've got the tapes by the hundreds. We've got 900 and some tapes, I believe. And in that time we have thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. And that's what the Bible says when a man has thus saith the Lord, even just once. That's the man that you are to hear and to fear. You listen and you obey him. That's the man. Nobody else. And if anybody says anything contrary, let that man be cursed. Brother Branham, I can't find the quote, but Brother A. Wall Frank used it, so therefore I have confidence in what he said. And that is, Brother Branham is supposed to say that. I don't know where it is on tape, but I'm sure it's there somewhere. Maybe it's just a paraphrase, but it's got to be there. And he said, if any preacher leaves that word, you leave him because God's already left that preacher. Well, that's simple as ABC, even if he didn't say it. I don't know where he got the quote from. My mind's so poor anyway. But your understanding would make you see that. God sent an absolutely vindicated prophet. He sent His prophet. Not a prophet, but His prophet. Not just a prophet in the body of Christ, but His prophet. One of the stars in His right hand. He proved that He sent him according to Acts 3 and 19 because we saw the refreshing from the presence of the Lord. We saw God. That is all that can be seen of God by the naked eye, which is the signs and wonders and miracles that the words of a man will not produce, but thus saith the Lord did produce. Because the words of man won't do that. A jealous God, He wouldn't let anybody. How could God, being a jealous God, let any man come with thus saith the Lord and he not be the prophet of God? Providing he backed him up. And then when the man said, thus saith the Lord, and the thing came to pass, that had to be actually the words of Almighty God. I don't care whose mouth it came out of. I don't care. If it came out of a temple, a voice from a crowd. Yeah. It'd be God. Doesn't make the vessel God. It's the word that's God. See? His prophet brought the word. He opened to us the seals. In those seven seals, according to Brother Branham, were the seven thunders. He preached serpent seed, election, set the church in order, lined up the gifts, taught no eternal hell, taught the truth of Matthew 25, which is not the millennium, but the white throne judgment. All the mysteries were revealed. Christ and the mercy seat brought into full view. The former rain had fallen. The latter rain had come upon it. I can prove that. Because Brother Branham said that sword was in his hand. That's the word of God, he said. What happened? That was the former rain. Then, later, in the very same spot, he saw the dove. That's the Holy Ghost. The former and latter rain had fallen. See? The bride, said Brother Branham, has all she needs to put in the rapture. But he said she's grieving. And like Israel, she doesn't seem to have a thing. Now, at this day, if God should come down and decide to suddenly throw us all against ecumenical council, and the church world, and the government. Yeah. And remember, the church world today is imbued with a charismatic idea of signs and wonders which they produce even in that horrendous place, the Roman Catholic Church. Now, what if God should suddenly let the squeeze come down? Huh? Now what? What if it comes down? What will happen to us? Now, this is not hypothetical. This is absolutely what the prophet taught. Now, what's going to happen? Look around. Do you know one person that you know has got what it takes when it comes to anything other than that person just quoting that word? Now, you go ahead and show me. You show me one person. I can show you a dozen or 100 people in the other camp that can outwork us, outprove us, outdo us in any way, shape, or form they want to. You say, well, I believe Brother Vail, a certain brother in our church, had prayed for the sick and the boy was dead and he was raised up. I can show you other men who prayed for maybe half a dozen and they were raised up. You say, well, Brother Vail, I know a man that prays and don't you know, he prayed and I got a new tooth in there. I can show you a man and another man, when they pray, they get their teeth filled with gold. Go ahead and show me something. Sure, it's the truth. What do we got? What has anybody got here? Go ahead. When the squeeze comes down, go ahead. Show me one thing you got. Can't see it either. Everybody talks about the word coming in manifestation. Who's got it? Nobody's got it. That's what I'm talking about. This is exactly where we will stand if Israel stood, having gone through the Red Sea, claiming to enter into that thing we're talking about, and here we stand and the squeeze begins to come down. Now what's going to happen? Here's where we stand. And here's where I have my problems. With many brethren who are just like Israel. See? Because Caleb and Joshua did their best to spread the word, and the other 10 fussed. And then the people began fussing. They had a great time with their fussing. Didn't nobody seem to have a thing. People are looking for this and that and the other thing to come. They want more message or more messenger or more something or more other to make what we got begin to work. Sure they do. What a negative confession we have of unbelief in this 20th century. What did Moses give but the word? Now you show me. Now Moses had all kinds of power. Oh, he was loaded with power. Smote the rock. Even got out of the will of God. Smote the rock twice and brought it forth. Fabulous character. The gifted men of his day merely separated and deceived the people. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Now why do you want gifts? I'm not saying you couldn't have them. But why would gifts be greater than the word? See, let's be honest now. People say, well, I want this plus the word. I wonder. What can Brother Branham give but the word? And that's the question. What can he give but the word? What is a prophet? He is the revealer of the word. And the only reason he had the tremendous power ministry was in order to show us that he had the right to bring the word. Now, as I said before, the Western Union boy comes to the door at night, knocks on the, maybe early morning, knocks on the door. Woman comes to the door in her kimono, and she said, what is it? He said, telegram from West Union. She said, oh my, what a fine boy. Did you think to bring me a pound of butter? He looks at her and he says, what'd you say, ma'am? Well, she said, it's pretty soon time for breakfast, and we don't have any butter. You didn't bring a pound, did you? And a quart of milk. Oh, he said, I've been delivering mail for this for a long time. He said, oh, my heavens, I didn't think it would come to this. The poor guy almost had a nervous breakdown. He said, madam, I'm a messenger. I bring messages. I don't bring butter and figs and apples or groceries. I bring messages, words. And she said, I'm so disappointed. I thought you'd bring some bread and some butter and something else. A prophet brings the word. Huh? Western Unioners? Little mum answering the door? Huh? Certainly I'm not being sarcastic. I'm just trying to illustrate to you and show you what's going on. I'm not saying something isn't going to be in the brown. I'm not saying there's no third pull. I'm just trying to tell you, you've got to wait on that word till the squeeze comes. And when the squeeze comes, you are still going to wait on that word. Because you don't know what it's going to do, and where it's going to do it, and how it's going to do it, and why it's going to do it. Because the Bible said when they haul you before judges, you don't have to meditate what you're going to say. In that hour it'll be giving you what you'll say. In other words, it's absolutely apart from the human mind, the human endeavor, the human will. Be moving by the Holy Ghost. Now, we're looking for that, see? Now, listen. Let us cease from looking at ourselves and others. Yeah. My brother one day said, you know, I went to talk to a Pentecostal brother of mine, one of the oneness boys. And I began telling him about the bride and Brother Branham and all. Now, he said, sir, he said, can you show me any bride? And this brother said, well, now, he said, I was really stumped right there. He said, because I couldn't show him myself, and I didn't know a church. If I'd have said, brother, you're looking at one. And I'd have given him the word test so fast to see if he was bride. Why? Because Alpha's Omega, that was the test of the first generation, Brother Branham said, and it's a test of the last. Not whether you've got a miracle, a sign, or a wonder. It's whether you've got the word of Almighty God. What are you standing on today? Yeah, certainly. Why? I couldn't tell him any church. And the church he preached in, he got them all screaming, amen. He got them screaming, amen, until when he quoted on his own ID, he said, I followed Brother Branham for 10 years, and I've studied his tape for 12 hours a day. And if anybody tells you the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the rebirth, the same thing, they don't know what they're talking about. Yet Brother Branham twice in manifested son says, you get the rebirth by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. His 10 hours a day, or 12, weren't working too good. Now, who's right and who's wrong? What's the prophet bring? He brings the word. You and he said, say what I say and don't say anything else. You say, Brother Bale, does that mean to quote those tape verbatim? It does. If you don't understand what you're saying, you better just quote verbatim and let it go there. But if you have the ability to understand doctrine, which we should by now, we should be able to read this book having had it opened by the keys which the prophet gave us. See? Let us remember Abraham and live, for he considered not himself and neither Sarah. When they said Abraham, men would come and say, "Hey, Abraham, that's a very nice name. Doesn't that name mean father of a multitude?" He said, "It sure does." He said, "My, my, my. How wonderful. And no doubt you have many children and many grandchildren and no doubt many, many great-grandchildren. You must be happy, flourishing like the palm tree." Well, he said, on the contrary, he said, "I don't happen to have any issue by me and Sarah." Well, they looked, they said, "Hey," he said, Your father and mother sure fooled you when they named you." He said, "On the contrary, my father doesn't lie, and he named me." "Would you like to know who my father is?" I said, "Yes." "You mean to say he's living?" "Why, he certainly does live." "He's always lived." "Hey, look at old Abraham now, you know, white hair and all. What's with that guy?" "Why," he said, "my father's God. He doesn't lie. And he told me I'm a father of many nations." And they said, "Oh boy, call the paddy wagon. No, forget it." So they felt like just talking a bit to the old bunny. They said, "Say, by the way, this woman Sarah you talk about, is she one of your young wives?" "Why," he said, "no, we've been married for about 80 years. Well, they humored the old boy. They said, "Well, now, I guess it's all right to believe what you want to believe." He said, "No, it ain't." "You know, it isn't." He said, "You got to believe what he told me to believe." See, he considered not himself. Now, if he'd have considered himself, he'd have done the best he could to probably sneak out the door. But he stuck with the word. And he wouldn't let anybody get in his way. Let's go back and see that in Romans, the fourth chapter. Let's just read about old Abraham here, because he's the one we're supposed to follow. Watch what it says. "For the promise," in verse 13, "that he should be heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law," but watch it, "through the righteousness of faith." And remember, there is no faith outside a revealed word. So righteousness is revealed word. Right? The righteousness by revealed word. "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void." Your very righteousness is all gone. "And the promise of the hour is of none effect." Tells you right there, you'll never make it on your own. Never make it on your own. Can't do it. "Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Now we are not under law, but under grace, so therefore there is no transgression." So we don't need to look at ourselves and say, "Well, I don't know if I'll make it or not. I wonder if I'm good enough." See? Because the minute we start and keep in that atmosphere, that which God has provided for us cannot operate. It can only operate in the complete submission to faith, which is obedience to the revealed word, which simply means believe what the prophet said and stand on it. See? Let's face it, I didn't ask for the prophet to come. You didn't ask. Who told God even let us be born? Who made the stars and all these things? When man got a little bit too smart this way, God said, "Where were you when I did the foundation of the world?" He said, "Where were you when all the sons of God came here and sang and clapped their hands and shouted? We had a great time. Where were you?" "Nowhere." Now why are you trying to get your own ideas now? See, every thought and subjection. Here's where the prophet, now you know the prophet taught that. Certainly. I'm not teaching you opposite. "For the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace the free gift, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed." What is the promise today? The promise of the hour is that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The promise of the hour that God would send Elijah the prophet in order to bring the full revelation, the mystery of Almighty God, of which one of them was changing corruptibility into incorruptibility. See? Now the promise of the hour is now, and it says it's by faith in order to be sure. In other words, if you believe it, you are now sealed in by the word. Not something else. Not something else. Well, if you don't believe me, would you tell me what you want to produce? Go ahead. Anybody, be my guest. Even a woman can stand up. Go ahead. Women, you got the floor. Go ahead. You see, you cut your throat. You can't do it. They want to believe it. See, you're not so dumb you couldn't talk back. Don't worry, because you know if I gave you the chance, I wouldn't rip you to ribbons. I'd say, well, praise God, we found a verse the prophet couldn't give us. You're bigger than he is. Got God all turned around, because you can't do it. Here's what it says right here. Did I read you the word right? Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace. It's through the revelation which you cannot get apart from the Holy Ghost, which is given to you on the grounds of election before the foundation of the world. To the end, the promise might be sure to the seed. If your seed or anybody's seed, the word of the hour is made absolutely certain on the ground that it's been revealed for the hour. Right? And then look. Now look, listen to me. I could put a lock on the door. And I'd say, glory to God, I got a lock. And someone would say, Brother Dale, I'm going to make it more sure. Hallelujah. And you put a double lock in the door. And somebody said, glory to God, Brother Dale. And whoever put that second lock on, I'm going to make it more sure, diddly-winker sure. And he puts 10 locks on. Go ahead. Now try it with the Word of God. Go ahead. I'm a little rough here at this big, but I've got a kind spirit inside. I can tell by the way I feel. I feel very kind, very sweet. Now, I had to tell you because you might not have noted it. And then you see, if you didn't know it, you wouldn't get the blessing, you see. But how sweet I am tonight. I'm just trying to show you, see. I'm trying to show you, if the Word of God makes it sure, then what are you and I talking about? Right? Shall I pass the rubber mallet? Or the hat pin? Either one we might need at this minute. But you see, where we're failing. That negative confession, that thing that's got to be rooted out. Because before the prophet died, way back in Colorado, when the storm was still and the two little fawn came, and he said, I promise not to kill, so I won't. And the word of God said to came to him and said, now if you kept your promise, how much more have I kept mine? And he said, Lee, for the first time since I'm a child, I don't, but he said, rather, quoting, he said, Lee, for the first time in all these years, I don't have any more guilt complexes. See? Why? Because he came to the realization of God's word is true. Let any man come to that point. And he's where Israel should have been, where Joshua and Caleb were. See? And the rest failed. Now, let us remember then, Abraham here. He said that it might be sure to all the seed, A-double-L-C, see? Not to that only which is the law. Now, if I said to you, do any people here believe that when Jesus rose, some bodies came up out of the graves? You'd say, oh, bless God, Brother Bill, I'm absolutely sure, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. What made you think I wouldn't believe that? Oh, sure, I believe they came up. Well, I hope you get what I'm driving at. Huh? Do I have to break the bomb on you? Not to only that which is of the law. If they made it, what about us? Now, you believe in a resurrection, do you? Do you believe one's happened? Brother Bram said so. Do you believe they went back to the pit? Never. They're up there. John saw them. In their bodies, too. In their 2,000 years. What else? You think Abraham's there? Certainly. What did Brother Branham say about Jacob? Take my body back, because there's where the resurrection is, being a prophet. Joseph said, take my bones back. Resurrection, right? And in Palestine, the resurrection occurred. Now, the Bible says right here that they got it. And it said, we're going to get it too. Now, what kind of a hypocrite are we if we say, oh, glory to God, yes, brother. Oh, boy, what made you think I didn't believe those folk were resurrected? Hallelujah. I read my Bible. Then be my guest and read this too. Huh? Let's read some more about it. I'm talking to me more than you. Don't worry. Don't worry. I know what goes on. You have to assure yourself in Christ. You can't run yourself down when you're in Christ. You can't call that common run king which God's cleansed. And expect to have faith for this end time, brother, sister. See, the prophet said it wasn't character. He said it wasn't gifts. He said it was so simple, it was going right over people's heads. And that word came so simply, it was the word. That great third pull, no public display. Now, that's the same thing with you and me. Not that God's not going to work in us. Don't worry, I never said that. I'm just talking about this thing right now because we're talking about the coming sun. And when Christ is thoroughly formed in the bride, brother, sister, something's got to happen. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. No doubt. I don't know what it's going to be. But I want to be a part of that. Now listen. He said here, but to that of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. They made it. We're going to make it too. Because we've got one father, one source. Now we walk in his steps. And what about that Abraham who brought this to pass? He is our example. He as good as dead. See? Ain't no use believing no more. Bless God, it's all over. Hope was gone. No use hoping. For years they were expecting to have a child, but now she's past the menopause and he is finished too. Yet they kept right on hoping, expecting a child. And Brother Brown said they had the bird's eye and the booties. They were yellow by age now. So what? Would you dye them pink? Or dye them red? Who cares? What if they are yellow with age? That makes no difference. See? Nothing to it. See? He kept on expecting. Even when there was no use. Now, what was he staying with? He was staying with the Word. And remember that Israel failed to stay with that Word the way Abraham failed to stay with it. In the hour of their crisis, now we must learn our lesson. Stay with that Word. Now notice, not being weak in faith. People say, where's those miracles? Ain't nobody got no faith. Don't see no miracle. Don't see this and that. Huh? Oh, they're saying it. They're confessing nobody's got it. Well, listen, don't you believe that? Because Abraham was not weak in faith, and neither are we. How can you and I be weak in faith if we have the revelation? If we even have a mustard seed of a revelation, how can we be weak? Now, Abraham was not weak in faith. Why? Because he just stayed at the Word. See? You know, folk, one of these days we're going to die if Jesus doesn't come. You know what? Then what's going to do us? That Word. We're not going to get ourselves out of the grave to the glory of God. He'll get us out, whether we want or not.
Amen.
Yeah, he'll get us out. But what is it to his glory? See? Now, listen. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Through sinning. Just believing the Word of the hour. The simplicity of the gospel. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. In other words, glorifying the Word. Staying with the Word. See? Now, and being fully persuaded. Now listen, brother, sister. 20 years before this verse came to pass, the full persuasion, he had already believed God. And in the process of 20 years believing, he came to the full persuasion that launched him into the production of the Son. So will this bride. Today, if she stays with the Word that Brother Branham gave her, the day will come when it'll be the full persuasion which will be the bride in this third pull that will put her right into the rapture. See? Now, that's true. Now watch, verse 22 again. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. What was imputed? Faith in the Word. Now, hold your thought there. Let's go to Joel, the second chapter. Oh, my time is gone. What happened? Did we start late tonight? Certainly don't accuse me of preaching overtime, please. No one should be that rude. Listen. Verse 22. Be not afraid, you beasts of the field. Why? It's raining time. For the pastures of the wilderness do spring, and the trees bear their fruit, and the fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of the rapture, that's Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he's given you the former rain moderately, and he'll cause to come down with you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first. Not in the first month, that's wrong. It's in the first age. The word's repeated. And the floor shall be full of wheat. When? At the last age. That's when you get your wheat, seventh church age. The first age repeats. Restoration, we're back. And the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. Glory to God. The Word of God's just going to prosper, and we're going to be just that Word getting fatter and fatter, spreading more and more and more and more of the Word. Now listen, and I will restore to you the years of locusts that have eaten the canker and caterpillar, palmer worm, great army sent among you. That's that same little thing that's our denomination killing it all. Listen, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Now I believe this is the verse that says in the original Hebrew back there and in the Septuagint, I have given you this food for righteousness. Brother Branham's vision of the stored up vegetables was food, which was the Word of God, which was spiritual food in due season, which is our righteousness. See? Now, no wonder the prophet's theme song was Only Believe, because it was. Now listen, brother, sister, and my last and a little warning here at the end. If you go to Numbers, the 14th chapter, verses 40 to 45, let's do it because I don't want you to just think you might not read it. I better read it to you, so I'm going to be sure you get it. Pardon me, Numbers 14, 40 to 45. Now watch. And they rose up early in the morning and gat themselves to the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and we'll go up into the place where the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do you transgress the command of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. What about those five foolish virgins that came too late? What about the man that had the wedding garment on, didn't have the wedding garment on? Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. And what happened? They presumed to go to the hilltop, and nevertheless the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses did not depart out of the camp. The word that Brother Branham brought will not linger amongst the people. At the time of the rapture, it'll be too late. You've got to stay with the Word now. Whatever's coming, I don't know. If there's some great thing coming in the resurrection, which I have no doubt to be something tremendous, I don't know. I only know one thing, that I cannot find any scripture. I can't find any illustration. I can find nothing but this one thing. Stay with that Word. See? And until the Word itself brings forth of itself, as the Bible says it will, then simply stay with it till it does it. See? Now listen, the fruitful seed is not one that you see, but the one that's buried, yet living, by lying in the presence of the Son. You don't see that Word manifested right now. It's buried in the heart. It's lying in the presence of the Son. But remember, that original seed that he sowed has within it the full power of transformation, which means every single thing that he said about the bride of this hour will absolutely be manifested in that bride if you simply stay with it. Because you and I can't produce it. Listen, when God said, let there be light, the light came. The Word produced the light. The light didn't produce the Word because the light wasn't there except for the Word. And how are you and I going to produce anything? It's going to be the Word that does it. Have faith in that descended, revealed Christ, the Word, for today. See? Now, remember, Brother Branham said this. I, the Lord, have planted it and watered it day and night, lest some or one should pluck it out of my hand. Won't happen. Because God is watching that Word. Let me read in closing, unveiling of God. The veil, old badger skins, was hiding the Word to their eyes, natural. Behind there also was the showbread. Behind all there also was the Shekinah glory. All the glory of God was right behind that old badger skin. All hid to the natural eye. Nobody saw a thing. Ain't nobody got none. How many men have I heard say that? How many men have I heard take the very word the prophet preached to cast doubts in the people's mind about that very word? I'll never forget your Western Union boy. He didn't bring a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk. He did as a prophet. He brought the Word. And when the Western Union boy brought the Word, he brought the message. That was his job finished. Amen. Brother Branham brought the Word. If he's got to come back, it's just for one thing. That's that Word. I said, if. See, I don't fuss about these things some people fuss about. Because I don't know what's going to happen. It's not my job to preach what's going to happen. My job is to preach this Word as he preached it. And whatever comes is going to come. I don't have anything in my mind. I have no knowledge at all what's going to come. I don't know what's going to come. I just know this Word will be fulfilled like he said, and that's all. Now listen, all is hid to the natural eye. It is today too. Notice, all the glory that is in God is in the Word. Huh? Did you get it? All the glory that is in God is in the Word. Brother Branham said the glory of God was manifested when Christ healed the people on earth. Now, that's on a tape. You'll find that, I think, in the church ages, too. It's on a tape. Now, everything everybody's looking for is in that Word. All the blessings that are in God are in the Word. Oh, Brother Bill, I want sensations, isn't that? Well, that's all right. I'm not against sensation. I like a few myself. Sure. What sensation did Naaman have, though, when Elijah said, go on there and dip in the River Jordan 7 times? Oh, he had a sensation, right? Why, he said, that fella in that muddy river. Me? Huh. I want something bigger than that, bless God. The little servant that didn't have an ounce of brain, so-called. You know, kind of a little hillbilly guy. Why, he said, my father, he said, if he said something great, you'd have tried to do it. Why not do this simple thing and find out? Oh, he said, oh, all right, you say so. Even if that's your attitude, oh, all right, I'll stick with the word. Go ahead. Bless God, as long as you stay with the word. It is hidden to the unbeliever by traditions, but it's all in Christ. All that God was, he emptied himself and came into Christ, and we into Christ are behind the veil. Then what's the proof of being in him? Being in the Word. If I am in Christ, I am his Word. I didn't say the prophet said it. For he is the Word, and what he is, I am. Now listen, a theoretician could say that. Some theologian could say that and try to make it look real good from Scripture. But supposing he was just a theoretician or a theologian. But what if a vindicated prophet said so, with thus saith the Lord? Are you going to say, well, now, brother prophet, I kind of think you made a little mistake there. Because I don't think that he is what you are and you are what he is. Now, would you say that? No. If I am in Christ, I am his Word. For he is the Word. Now, isn't that logical? Now, you see, we're not talking about getting in the barrel filled with water. We're getting into the reality of the body of Christ. A literal body by the life of God, the Holy Ghost in the members. And I am what I am because of this life in me. Now, we're talking the very thing. If I am in him, and he is the Word, then I am the Word. Don't say, oh, what a poor example. Oh, what a terrible thing. Oh, don't go into shock. See? If I am in him and he is the Word, then I am the Word. That settles it. Okay. The Word manifested or revealed is that revelation in there. Then what does that put me? If he is the Shekinah glory, I'm part of it. Hey, now, hold it here, brother, sister. Yeah, I didn't hear what I read, and you didn't hear what I read. We're going to hear it now, though. If he is the Shekinah glory, I'm a part of it. Then what are these people talking about that say, Brother Branham said, you had better meet with the pillar of fire, and they think we haven't, and the Shekinah glory is the pillar of fire. Then if I'm part of it, I must admit with it. Now where are you theologians that should be up here instead of me? But you're talking out there someplace else to destroy people's faith. Keep it on tape. Don't erase it. I mean it. You say you believe the prophet. Let's say it. I'm part of that Shekinah glory. I dare you. Say it. I'm part of that Shekinah glory. Say it again. Get your hands out of your mouth. I'm part of that Shekinah glory. The prophet said so. Thank you, Ben. Bless your heart. I'm glad you're around here. I'm going to hurt us one bit to have a little shout. Kind of scares you, huh? Then what if we met the real thing? Would we fall and say, hallelujah, Jesus? We wouldn't like scared animals. Now, come on. I'm not a brilliant logician, but I've got enough that logic in me to know that if I'm going to be scared of this when the prophet said it. He said, well, Brother Branham only said that himself. No, no. He used the word we. Now, if I'm in Christ, I am his Word, for he is the Word, and what he is, I am. The Word manifested or revealed, is that revelation in there? And where does that put me? See, in other words, what does it mean to me? What do I get out of this thing? What does it do to me? If he is the Shekinah glory, I'm part of it. The Word itself revealed reveals itself. Nothing else. And nothing else. What are you looking for? It's the Word revealed. It is the Word revealed. It's revealed itself. Christ revealed.
See? The same with us. The mysteries of God made known to us in this day by the same heavenly messenger that was made known to them in those days. He tells you Christ came right down and made this known. Now, the bride's green, sure. I don't pretend I'm anybody, not for 1 minute. You don't pretend you're anybody. That's honesty. But we don't deny what he said about us. Because that's what Israel did. And their victory lay in one realm and one alone. Was to take that word and go facing the enemy at the time of the showdown that God indicated. Now we can get all fussed up in our minds thinking, oh, what'll it be? What's going to happen? Don't even do that. Don't even consider the showdown. Don't even look to the future. Don't do a thing with that. Leave it. Just stay with this word now and feed on it. And when the showdown comes, by the grace of God, let everybody simply stand with the word, just exactly like Luther did. God helping me, I can do no other. Luther, I'll kill you. Then kill me. Luther, give us a miracle. I can't. Luther, do some big thing. I can't. What are you going to do? Stand with the word. Now that's the hour that God is going to take this word, we being one of it, and bring into absolute manifestation what Brother Branham called that third bowl. You call it what you want, I can call what I want. He called the third bowl. In the meantime, brother, sister, there can be no manifestation outside of yours and my faith staying with this word. And our confession cannot be negative. Ain't nobody got nothing. Well, what does that do to the revealed word? What was his ministry all about? What are we here for? I want to know. We might as well quit playing hypocrites. Go on home and forget the whole thing. We're not giving God any glory. Don't you know the Antichrist church is going to try to give God glory through a church system and ends up in the hand of the devil? Brother, sister, we're human beings. We got the same opportunity to go to heaven or go to hell. Let's make up our mind. There's only one way, and that's stay with the word of the hour. Confess it. Believe it. We're in the Shekinah glory now. We're feeding on that bread of life. We're part of it. See? Certainly we are. We don't look at ourselves and say, oh, I can't believe that. We do believe it. Because it's a truth. It's a truth. The truth covered. Let it be a bit like Israel back in those old days when old King of Moab down there, old Balak, got to feeling kind of funny. And he said, let's call Balaam and curse those guys. And Balaam came down, look at the hind parts. Look at the wicked part of Israel. And he got his mouth all set to curse it. And God says, you can't curse what I've blessed. Now open your mouth wide and I'll let something come out of it. And blessings, pour it out. See? Feel better? Okay, I'll let you go home. You may go home then. Let's rise immediately. Stay with the word. Say what the prophet said. He said, if he is that word and I'm in him, I'm part of that word. If he's the Shekinah glory and I'm in him, I'm part of that Shekinah glory. See, identification. Don't sing Jesus paid it all to him I owe, unless we mean it. Say, Jesus paid part of it. I got to pay part myself. No. Would anyone here like to try to make it on just part of his own? Would you like tonight to just have 99% God and then 1% of your own? 99 and 9/10%? Then it's got to be all God, is that right? And what way is that? Just by grace. How could I invite myself to the White House? Great banquet going to go on. And I say, here's Lee Vail. Open the door, I'm coming in. He said, who's that bird? Get out. Nobody invited himself to come to God. We were sheep gone astray and he found us. He opened the door and said, come on in, my beloved. Okay. You know, my favorite story is the Songs of Solomon. And I don't teach it like Brother Ned because I don't have the insight. But I remember that woman. She said, my beloved is so wonderful. And she just eulogized him and she hadn't even seen him. And one night, but she knew about him in her heart. One night that beloved came knocking at the door. The door was locked and she couldn't get there very fast. But she heard his voice and she just went all to pieces. Now, I know women do that, but men can do it too. I don't know about you, but they talk about women going to pieces over their men. I've gone that way with my wife. I guess you men have done it too. But she went to pieces, just literally melted, knew he was down. She got to the door. He wasn't there. It was just darkness. She went and she said, I've got to find him. She'd heard his voice. And that's what we've heard. We heard his voice. That's all you heard. You haven't seen him. So she went out in the streets. And the Bible said that they plucked her to clothing. The dogs chased her and they tried to molest her. But she just kept on following. And by the time he turned and she found him, her hair was all disheveled. And she didn't look like that beautiful swan neck, you know, and all the body, the Bible explains the various members of her frame and how beautiful she was, you know, lovely teeth, lovely hair. She was so beautiful. You know, she looked like something that the dogs had chased and people had, you know, molested. Not physically, but just plucked at her clothing and beaten her and slapped around. And you know, she should have looked so pretty for her wedding day. And because he was so beautiful, they couldn't touch him because he was the man amongst men. They couldn't do a thing to him. He was so flawless and beautiful. And here she was looking like something that she couldn't have come in first in any race. She wouldn't have won any beauty contest. She might have come in last or finally snuck away from the crowd. She was such a mess. And he looked at me and said, my, he said, you're beautiful. I hope to God that's what he says about me. Because we don't have a thing to present to him. But we have heard his voice. And I know it's the most beautiful voice in all this world. It's the most beautiful word in all this world. And if he can look down at us and say, you're beautiful. As he said, one day I'm going to show the whole world whom I've loved. Because they don't think you're worth loving. He tells us. He lets us know. That as far as the eye can see, there's not one thing in the natural. It's all veiled to the natural eye. But he looked down, and he said, I'm going to let the whole world know. You know, that doesn't just mean you and me. That means a whole lot of people. There's a whole lot of folk going to be in that bride. Brother, sister, there's just one thing going to get us there, and that's Christ himself. See, because no matter how much he looked, if he hadn't turned around and said, here I am, she'd still be looking. That's right. So we stand here tonight on the eve of a holy congregation when the whole bride's son is going to come together and meet the Lord in the air. What a day that's going to be. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. Only the grace of God could do it. Sinners saved by grace. And what makes it worst of all is sons of God that were fallen. It wouldn't be so bad to talk about sons of Cain that fell, but it's sons of God that are fallen. Literally bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Called members of his body. But he is the resurrection and the life. And it isn't going to be long now till the voice of the resurrection's in that bride. Just like the shout was. And then the trump of God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, in every heart tonight in this building I don't. But you know, Lord God, there may be some younger person. There might be some stranger, somebody from the outside. That's never come to recognize you as Lord and Savior. Who's never had a personal experience. Oh God, we pray for them tonight. May, Lord Jesus, your word reach into hearts tonight and turn unbelief into faith and sinners into saints. Lord, tonight you can do it. You've been doing it. Lord, you're doing it right at this day. You're plucking them as brands from the burning. And it's wonderful. Oh God, how great thou art. While we're praying, our eyes are closed. Maybe someone say, Brother Bale, will you pray? Have the folk pray tonight. Remember, I can't save you. But it's sure good that you witness that you need Christ, that you're not saved, that you've never given your life to him. You say, now I want to do that. I want Christ to come into my heart. And I want him to lead me and guide me, making me a part of him. He can do it because you said so according to his word. And I'm going to stand on that. Anybody anywhere, we'd be glad to pray for you. I suppose we're 99% born again here. I don't know. But should there be somebody? Maybe you've been just sort of hiding yourself and thinking it's okay. But now tonight, you want to make sure it's okay. It's all right. Now is your opportunity. Putting your hand up doesn't save you, or taking a step. We don't ask you to take a step, except in your own heart to take that step toward God. Heavenly Father, you know each one. I won't prolong this. And I trust, Lord, that everyone here is right with you. And Lord, there isn't one of us can be right with you except that you do it. Except, Lord, we stand in the full assurance of what you are to us. Lord, every day was a day of victory, and every day was a day of joy in thee, Lord, and every day was a day of turning the cheek, and when they smote the back and the plucking of the hair, it just was victory. It still wouldn't get me there, Lord. It still wouldn't do any good. If I gave my life to be burned, it still wouldn't do any good. If I lived 1,000 lives for you without flaw, it still wouldn't do any good. No, there's nothing to do any good except Christ in my stead. Oh, God, by the shed blood and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, Lord, that's all that's going to count. Oh, Father, tonight, please help us, Lord. I don't want to hurry you, Lord, into a revelation that into something you're not ready to give us, Lord, but our hearts are hungering for the reality of those things the prophet told us. Guilt complex is gone. Perfect love entering in. Lord, the Word becoming, the flesh becoming more Word. Oh, God, until Shekinah glory begins to manifest itself. Oh, Christ, tonight, that's what we're praying for. We don't ask anything, Lord, that you show us the things that lie ahead, or you give us this ministry, that ministry. No, Lord. Oh, God, tonight. We don't care, Lord, really, what's going to happen in the sense that we would have a voice in it. Lord, just as long as we're one with you and you're making it happen, then, oh, that's going to be so good. That's all, Lord. God, put the assurance in the people's heart tonight. Don't let them go negative. And don't let them believe, Lord, any other voice that will try to lead them astray. Oh, Jesus, help them to stay with the Word. Help me to stay with the Word. God, Father, God, I pray and I haven't said one word, Lord, I trust, not one word that's wrong, nor in any spirit that's wrong. I prayed, Lord, to be right. And I can only think one thing, God, you heard me, and I stood here asking you for help, and you can't have denied it. God, I believe tonight you've been with us. You've been with us, Lord, and you're going to water this word, and it won't return void. It was sent forth, Lord, for one reason, to stay with the prophet that was vindicated by you. Lord, it can't fall to the ground. It's got to accomplish what it was sent for. So unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's sing that song, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary.